You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Well, you can't have a newsy day like this in Berea and not get the thoughts of one Gerard Cherry on what's going on. He's going to share some of those with us right now. Hey, how are we doing, Gerard?
I am doing well, Vic and Nathan. How are you, gentlemen?
I'm doing all right.
So give me your take.
Move that had to be made, because your locker room at some point, if not fully, they can say one thing for supporting Brandon Wheaton, but if the actions and the body language and the talking in the locker room and within the weight room and in the cafeteria says something else, you have to make this move before guys say, you know what, well, even bother playing. And we all know that, yes, these are professionals and they're paid to play, but guys look for reasons to blame someone and they look for reasons to not show up. And Brandon Wheaton became the focal point of that. So Rob and staff, Banner and Lombardi did the right thing in giving Jason Campbell this opportunity, because at some point you go against the whole idea of football being a meritocracy in that if you're not showing up, if you're not doing the things necessary, why are you getting a pass? So you prevent the idea of holding people accountable. If your play is not accountable, then it becomes a focal point that, hey, we have to remove you because you're not doing what's necessary. So again, it had to be done.
Is there a fine line, though, especially for a first-year head coach, between, you know, having control of the team and turning control over to the players, if you think it was made predominantly because of the sentiments of players?
There's a fine line, but ultimately, if the guys won't play for you, then you have nothing to do. And if guys can't trust your word, if you make statements all year about the best guy will play, and if you play and you do things necessary, you'll be on this football team, and then you cut a Rainey and you cut other guys from the 53-man roster and who weren't living up to your standards, you have to stay consistent. So that's part of that whole balance as well, of being consistent with your message. And ultimately, you cannot endorse futility. You cannot endorse a guy not doing the things necessary. And it's not right. All on Brandon. I know I may sound like that right now, and there's a bunch of fingers you can point at other guys, but unfortunately, his play, because he's a quarterback, is obviously more glaring.
Yeah, the focus is the key here, but you've got to also see something. It wasn't enough to just – I hear what you're saying. You had to do something to get the problem out, but the question is, do you have a solution?
Right.
And I don't think this team set itself up for a solution with the thought all along that it was really Brandon or bust, and then the next phase to quarterback is the 2014 draft. But in the meantime – making this move now, as early as this is, and we're kind of looking through historically here for starters, especially first-round starters, this is about as quick a hook as you can get for a starting quarterback. So it creates this idea that when they set this team up, they basically said 9 years of experience that Campbell brought to the table or would bring to the table is at least enough to caddy you through the remainder of the year, depending on what that remainder was. I just don't know that this coaching staff, if Rob Chudzinski, honestly, if we asked him before the season, saw this happening this soon. I'm going to guess not.
I'm going to guess not as well, because no one goes into a season saying we're going to suck and we're going to go to our second or third string quarterback. That is not in the forefront of your mind.
No, right? That's not on the game plan.
Not at all. And if it is, you will not be coaching as an NFL head coach or anything of that magnitude for very long. So that could not have been his mindset. It's all about winning right. And focusing on getting to the playoffs and the Super Bowl. That had to be his mindset. Yet and still, this year was about discovering what Brandon Wheaton could do as a quarterback in a system that we felt would best fit his skill set and his needs. And really, I don't even say it's about the system. It's more so a young, inexperienced player who's not quite up to speed to what's necessary to win football games. It's really that simple, and in time, it may fall into place for Brandon Wheaton. Chances are we'll not be in Cleveland, and he's probably, at the end of the year, going to be happy about that. He wouldn't say that publicly, and why would he? Because it would be the wrong thing to say. But he's kind of, in some levels, be relieved of the fact that he's out of this situation and mess, and Jason Campbell will get a chance to deal with it for a while. But I don't think this is the last time that Vic and Nathan will see Brandon Wheaton as a starter for the Cleveland Browns, because who's to say that Jason Campbell makes it throughout the entirety of the season? There's still a lot of meaningful football left to be played. So, again, we might not have seen Brandon Wheaton for the short term, yes. Long term, I don't think so. But ultimately, to get back to what you were saying initially, Vic, no, you don't foresee these type of moves being made. You are hoping and praying and wishing that your starting quarterback was on your team for next year, and that being Brandon Wheaton.
Right, and it is that is not going to be the case. Let me ask you, with this type of a move at the quarterback position, do you think, you know, other positions are going to be evaluated this closely, and perhaps there could be some other changes in the starting lineup for the Browns?
Yeah, I can see the trade of Josh Gordon taking place. You could justify it. I can see that happening. And you could say, well, who's else is struggling in their position? Those other skills positions and other positions on the team, if guys continue to fall flat, you have to make those moves as well because you have to remain accountable. But far as I've observed, from what I've observed, I haven't seen no one play as ineffective as Brandon Whedon has in his position. So it's going to be hard to make those changes. There's no one glaringly playing that bad. Now, you could have made that case early on with Cousins, and you could have made that case early on with Schwartz and what they were doing off his line, but offensive starting right tackles and right guards aren't a dime a dozen either.
Yeah, yeah, you're right about that, too. And it does open that door for what else could be ahead for this football team through these next nine games, because there's a prudent way to go about your business. Folks won't want to hear anything that sounds like giving up for the future or tanking the season. That's been a favorite phrase tossed out here. And I heard it a lot. Even this week, if you stay with Whedon, staying with Whedon through the Green Bay game, all the way through the Green Bay game, was perceived as tanking the season, which was the farthest from, I know, the head coach's mind. And I don't think it's what they'd think about now, but I do think you have to be responsible to what you want to get out of this team going forward. The whole idea is to build something strong here. They're making a lot of investment. I mean, it would be inconsistent with a plan to put $100 million of stuff into new stuff into the stadium, into First Energy Stadium over the next couple of years to put together all the business dealings that are going on in huge ways behind the scenes right now for this team. They're not sitting on their hand. The efforts that they are to try to sell seats and sell, and that is the mindset and mode of what is going on here. Jimmy Haslam still very much with an open wallet, an open bank book, an open vault to make things happen. So you don't do all that and say, just let the football team, you know, rot on the vine. That's not what they're doing, but you need to see, I guess, those overt signs. We've seen some of them, more overt signs, that there really is planning and opportunity to do something good beyond this year. As much as you can do this year, you'll do, but the rest of it is prudent moves to get you where you're going next year. If Josh Gordon trade is part of that, I guess it's part of that. It won't be popular, but I don't know, Gerard, as I look at it, that's on the table along with probably some other things.
All right, and you can, like I said earlier, justify that trade because of Josh's actions on the football field. Last week, you didn't look like a guy that was totally invested in what was taking place. So if that's going to be your demeanor and your attitude, what you need to see, and we're all guilty of this, is when things are as worse, how do you respond and how do you react to it? And being a professional, more so with cameras being on you, is of utmost importance because you should be aware that cameras are on you, that you are putting out a good foot forward and putting on a smiley face. Now, you don't really want to be false and display a bunch of falsehood. At the same time, it could come off as, is this person inept? Does this person not really care because they're willing to just say, you know what? I'm not going to go about being Herculean in my effort. I'm just going to go about being somewhat lifeless, and you put that out on display. That kind of comes off as, not kind of, it does come off as, do you really care? Are you invested? So one good thing moving forward about this situation, Nathan and Vic, is the following. If this team struggles to win, what Joe Banner, Mike Lombardi, and Rob Chizinski and company can do is find out who is for real about playing football, right, and who is for real about being a winner and who really appreciates being on the Cleveland Browns and wants to have a career here and wants to have a life in the NFL. Because this is going to bring out the best and the worst in some people, and we will find out who is for real. So that is one positive thing about all this adversity and all this flux and change that's taking place within Berea right now in the constitution of this team. So that's one thing you can learn from and ascertain from a talent and team's perspective. So I'm looking forward to that angle of it as well. But nah, guys can't afford to quit, because if they do quit, they'll be out of the league. And more importantly, you can't build a winning culture if it's all predicated on let's tank.
Right, and this is in a, basically everybody here is playing to stay here if that's what they want to do, or to get something good on tape so they can go somewhere else if that isn't what they want to do. And this organization is going to try to figure out who wants to stay here and can contribute and shape this team over the next nine games this year and, of course, for the 2014 season and beyond. Gerard, thanks for joining us. I know you got to get ready for your show coming up next here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Huli and Gerard, thanks for always stopping by and giving us the good info, bro.
Well, no problem, guys. Take care.
All right.
We want to also thank for being here Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram, Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star calling in to us. Appreciate that as well. Our outstanding production work today, Chris Kuhn and Dave DiNatale, both helping us out. This was an extraordinary day, so a lot of hands on deck. And, guys, thank you so much for getting all that done. And also Jason Gibbs, we got that sound from here in from Berea. Helping us out. And Carly McCord, thank you. Appreciate all your help and the tweets and such. So we've got much more coming up for you. Again, Huli and Gerard, we'll be back with you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go.
New quarterback.
That's right. Third of the year.